Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. If I could have your attention. It is top of the hour and we shall begin on time. Good morning, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to U.S. Bank's annual shareholder meeting, and what a pleasure it is to be in the great city of Louisville in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. As the chairman of the board, it's my pleasure to preside over this meeting, and I'm here on behalf of the board of directors and the management of this great organization. I'd like to also welcome our guests here today, which include, first and foremost, our honor guard from the Boy Scout troop and crew of 309 from Watkins Methodist Church to present the colors. Gentlemen and lady, please come forward. If you would please stand, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please remain standing. As you remain standing, it's my pleasure to introduce Adrienne Blewett. Adrienne is a U.S. Bank teller from the Louisville One Financial Square office. She's here with her mom and dad, too, so that's pretty cool. Ladies and gentlemen, the Star-Spangled Banner.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
You may be seated. Adrienne, that was fabulous. Mom and Dad, aren't you so proud? That's so cool, right? We have Gary Ulmer here from the Bats, and I'm just thinking he may have found one of his future Star-Spangled Banner opening singers. So thank you, Adrienne. Thank you for your service to our company at the One Financial Square office. So when you came in today, you hopefully saw on your seats the rules of conduct, the little card that indicates how we will run the meeting. It's important you know that we will follow those closely. The agenda today is divided into two parts. The first will be the formal meeting that we will conduct and review the five items up for vote. The second will be a presentation of the highlights of this company over the last 12 months, a little peek into the future, and then an opportunity for questions and answers. Let me also thank Ruth here on my side for joining us and signing this meeting. I told her I talk fast, so she has to move really quickly. With me on stage is Jim Chosey, who will serve as the secretary for the meeting. Jim is the Executive Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary for U.S. Bank. I also have in the audience with us the members of the U.S. Bank Board of Directors. They're seated in the first row. I also have seated next to them the Managing Committee, our senior-most executives, also seated in the first row. For your notice, we have Bob Jacob and Reese Devlin, our auditors from Ernst & Young. Please stand, if you will, to know where you are. These gentlemen will be available to you for any questions you may have later in the meeting. We're delighted to have them join us today. I'd like to turn the meeting now to the formal business. Over to Jim Chosey.
Thank you, Richard. So I've received an affidavit of mailing from Broadridge Financial Solutions, which states that the notice of the meeting and accompanying proxy materials and annual report were mailed or made available on or about March 12, 2015 to shareholders of record on February 24, 2015, the record date for shareholders entitled to notice of this meeting, which is in accordance with our bylaws. The matters requiring a vote by the shareholders are discussed in the proxy statement. Additional copies of the proxy are available from the ushers here at today's meeting. Our Inspector of Elections, a representative from Broadridge Financial Solutions, is present at the meeting and has reported that we've received proxies representing a substantial majority or outstanding voting stock, which represents a quorum for the meeting. The company received a shareholder proposal that is included in the proxy statement, and if the sponsor of the proposal seeking a policy that the chairman of the board be an independent director is present, we will now recognize him or her to briefly present the proposal.
Becky Bevan will approach microphone two. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning. So on behalf of Gerald Armstrong, a long-term investor and shareholder of U.S. Bancorp shares, I present the following proposal. That the shareholder of U.S. Bancorp request its board of directors to adopt a policy and amend the bylaws as necessary to require the chairman of the board of directors be an independent member of the board of directors. This policy should not be implemented to violate any contractual obligations and should specify A, how to select a new independent chairman if the current chairman ceases to be independent during the time between annual meetings of shareholders, and B, that compliance is excused if no independent director is available and willing to serve as chairman. And he is in support of the proposal.
Thank you, Becky. All right.
Thank
carry
you.
On.
So we will refer you to the company's response to the proposal, which is included in the proxy statement. The polls for voting on all matters are hereby open at this time, 11:06 a.m. on April 21st, 2015. If there are any shareholders present who have not voted and want to vote or want to revoke a proxy previously given, please raise your hand. We'll have an usher give you a ballot. Does anybody would like a ballot?
I don't see any. All right.
If you previously voted by proxy, you do not need to vote today unless you wish to change your vote. And after voting, if there is anyone, please pass your ballots toward the nearest usher and they will collect them for you. We'll now consider the five proposals before us. The first is the election of 14 directors whose names and qualifications are listed in the proxy. Each of our directors has been nominated to serve as a director for a one-year term ending at the annual meeting in 2016. The second proposal is the approval of the U.S. Bancorp 2015 Stock Incentive Plan. The third proposal is ratification of the selection of Ernst & Young as the independent auditor for the company for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2015. The fourth proposal is the advisory approval of the compensation of our executives as disclosed in the proxy statement. The fifth proposal is the shareholder proposal requesting the adoption of a policy requiring that the chairman be an independent director. If there's anyone who is voting by ballot, please pass those across now. None. We will say it is now 11:07, and the polls for voting on the matters before the meeting are closed.
It's an important minute, you know.
The company has already received proxies sufficient to elect all 14 director nominees, approve the U.S. Bancorp 2015 Stock Incentive Plan, ratify the appointment of the auditors, give advisory approval of our executive compensation as described in the proxy statement, and also defeat the shareholder proposal requesting the adoption of a policy requiring that the chairman of the board be an independent director. If any votes today result in a different outcome, we'll inform you at the end of the meeting, and the final results will be published in a current report on Form 8K, which we will file with the SEC within 4 business days after the meeting. And the results will also be available from our investor relations department. Richard?
Thank you, Jim. That concludes the formal portion of our meeting. It's now my pleasure to bring you up to speed on what's happening in our company and to talk a little bit about this wonderful organization, its future, and its past. Let me start by welcoming all of you to this wonderful market called Louisville. It's a very important market. I was here when we entered it in 1998, and we're very proud to be back here again today. You'll see evidenced here that we have over 110,000 customers that consider us their bank, both business and consumers. You'll also note 227 employees here in Louisville, 26 branches, 35 ATMs, and again, the number one small business lender in this community. I might add, in the Commonwealth, we're equally impressive and quite excited about the business we have, particularly in the southern part of the state, in the Owensboro market with our mortgage lending groups, and all across the rest of the northern part of Kentucky, which adjoins in often cases with Cincinnati. Let me take a moment to have you take a look at these brand names as well. These are institutional, national names, iconic names, and people that we are proud to be partnered with in making their dreams come true as well. So Louisville Banking started for our heritage exactly 100 years ago. Coming up this October will be 100 years, and this organization having started from the Greater Louisville Savings and Building Association back in October 15, 1915. In 1982, the predecessor to our company, Great Financial, merged with Lincoln Savings and Loan of Owensboro, And then in 1998, we had the chance to join Starbank, First Starbank, along with Great Financial. And I remember it was late in 1998 we made the announcement. We did all the name changes on President's Weekend early in 1999, and Louisville had a record snowstorm that weekend. Whoopee! So we were changing names in the between snowflakes, but it was a wonderful start to a great partnership that now, as you can see, is many, many years forward. And we welcome this community to our 100th anniversary of our heritage, and we thought it was a fitting place to celebrate with you all today. The community is rife with sponsorships and support. You can see on the left side of the slide just some of the iconic names that we participate in, providing our time, our talent, and our financial resources to this community. And you can also see on the right side that our employees get involved in those areas that they support. As you'll find more and more in the future of volunteerism, that younger people, the next generation, finds themselves more interested in volunteering before they provide their financial support to something. And so we've introduced a very aggressive volunteering program in the company, where once you've been with the company for a small period of time, you get 8 hours of service to use any time you'd like during the year. When you've been here 5 years or longer, that's 16 hours. And our hope is that you'll do it with other bankers and other people in the community, find something that touches your heart, not just your head, and become involved deeply in what makes this community so special. And you can see by listed on the slide, 3,500 volunteer hours just last year. And once again, this iconic group of partners that we call friends. We have a Louisville Advisory Board, which is very important to me and to our management team here in Louisville. David Womwell is our market president. He runs this community for U.S. Bank, and he does it with the great support of this wonderful advisory board. There are many of them with us here today: Jennifer Barber from Frost Brown Todd, Dr. John Pacino, Professor Emeritus from University of Louisville, Audwin Helton from Spatial Data Integrations, Talmadge Hawker from the Hawker Group, Bill Mudd, CFO and President of Churchill Downs Incorporated, Rick Rimmers from Humana, Benjamin Richmond from Louisville Urban League, and Gary Ulmer from the Louisville Bats. They are here. Please stand and be recognized with our thanks for the great support you provide all of us. Let me also recognize some very important people in the room here tonight, today, which are those who serve our country. And before I recognize the employees, anyone in the room that's not a U.S. Bank employee that serves or has served for the military, for the United States of America, please stand and let us recognize you with our applause and our thanks for that as well. So you may know that it's our honor to be in the presence of those of you who serve and have served, but in our company, we wear these lapel pins, and they're very special to us. The lapel pin indicates that you are part of this family called U.S. Bank. The lapel pin has just a couple of variations. One of them is for military service, and so our very prided opportunity to thank those people who serve have a special flag, as you can see here on the slide, that adjoins U.S. Bank. Most of us wear it over our heart because it makes it very, very special. Today, from the Commonwealth of Kentucky, we have dozens of employees who both serve U.S. Bank and have served or are currently serving our country. I'd like you to just see a roll call of those. First, those who serve in the U.S. Army, the Army National Guard, or the U.S. Army Reserve. We have two pages of those folks who we're very proud of. And if you are here today, please stand. If you're part of the Army and U.S. Bank, please stand and be recognized. Thank you for that. Thank you, folks. You know, it adds a new phrase to having your back. I mean, how safe do we feel having these wonderful people here? Let me also recognize the U.S. Air Force and the Air Force Reserve. If you're here representing U.S. Bank and the Air Force, please stand and be recognized. Thank you, fellas. And let me also recognize those who serve in the U.S. Marine Corps, the Marine Corps Reserves, the U.S. Navy, or the U.S. Navy Reserve. Please stand to be recognized as well. U.S. Bank has made it a point of distinction to focus on military hiring. It's a point of pride for us, and we've been adding hundreds and hundreds of employees each quarter at U.S. Bank, and it does change and improve the quality of this wonderful workforce and those of us who we serve. I also want to recognize we have a small gift for each of our military service. It's a clock that indicates we appreciate your service, so I'll be taking that home with you. As important to me, we have a special military coin that U.S. Bank uses. I have the pleasure when I meet with generals and lieutenants and those around the country who serve our company and help us with some of our initiatives. As you know about the coin, it's a very special protocol. You put it in the palm of your hand, you extend your hand to someone who serves in the military, you transfer the coin through a handshake, along with your thanks and the pride that goes along with it. So we're honored to have all of you here today. Thank you for making us the company that we are and the company that we will be. The other way we adjust the lapel pin is we identify years of service with a special gemstone. And you can see here by the kind of parade of stones that when you've been here up to 5 years, there's no stone yet. At the five-year mark, from 5 to 10 years, you'll receive an amethyst. After that, from 10 to 15, it goes to the sapphire, then it goes to the green, it goes to the red. And at 25 years, your pin will have a diamond in the pin. At 30 years, the pin goes platinum along with the diamond. And after 30 years, we're just in awe. We don't know what else to do for you. And so I thought you'd be proud to know that in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, we have this amazing 11 people who have served this company for at least 40 years, OMG. And one person who could not make it, she's in Eastern Kentucky, it was a five-hour drive. Lizzie Case is not here with us today, but many of our long-term employees are. So please stand, if you will, and be recognized for our amazing gratitude for your service to our company. And you're now receiving your special crystal bowl for your service and our thanks, along with the pride that we enjoy having you here. These are not retired people. These are people that are working. And last I heard from Lizzie, she has no intention of retiring either. So there's obviously no moratorium on how long you can work at this great company. Let me take another minute to recognize, before the shareholders of this great company, two of our board members who will be moving forward and not serving beyond today. And yet, with our thanks and our gratitude, it's appropriate that we recognize them today. The first is Mark Belton. Mark is a retired executive vice president from the General Mills Company, or as they call it where I'm from now, the Mills. Mark is a remarkable leader in his own right, particularly in our community. But at the U.S. Bank Board of Directors, he's left his mark on our Community Reinvestment and Public Policy Committee with some amazing ideas. At the General Mills Corporation, he's responsible for ideas, innovation, and new thought-provoking ways of conducting business. He's done that very thing by influencing us at our company as well. So Mark, please stand to be recognized with our thanks to the entire shareholders of the bank. Let me also recognize Vicki Beninsky-Gluckman. Vicki has been serving our company since 1990, so that's over 25 years. Vicki was here before I joined. I joined in 1993 when we were called Star Bank up in the greater Cincinnati market, and she was one of my first board members. We celebrated at a board meeting just a few hours ago and had the chance to recognize that she was one of my go-to partners when I joined the bank, and one of the people I'll forever be grateful for all that she's done. She was the CEO of United Medical Resources in Cincinnati, one of the most well-known women-owned businesses with a great success record. And Vicki, among other things you've done for our company and for Cincinnati, you've been a woman role model for many, many years, and you will continue to be, with a great deal of people that follow your every move and are grateful for everything you do. I am as well, and so thank you for your 25 years of service. Be recognized, if you will, by the shareholders. Got it. Let me introduce then the rest of our board members. First, our lead director, Art Collins, who is a retired chairman and CEO of Medtronic, yours truly, currently at U.S. Bank. Doug Baker, chairman and CEO of Ecolab. Please stand when your name is called. Kimberly Harris, president and CEO of Puget Energy, Puget Sound Energy Incorporated. Roland Hernandez, founding principal and CEO of Hernandez Media Ventures. Doreen Wu Ho, commissioner of the San Francisco Port Commission. Joel Johnson, retired chairman and CEO from the Hormel Food Corporation. Olivia Kirtley, president, International Federation of Accountants, and a Louvillian, a proud member of your community, and oh my God, does she brag about it. Jerry Levin, chairman of the Wilton Brands, Inc., and chairman and CEO of the J.W. Levin Partners, LLC. David O'Malley, retired chairman, president, and CEO from Ohio National Services, Inc. Odell Owens, Dr. Owens, president of Cincinnati State Technical and Community College. Craig Schnuck, former chairman and CEO of Schnuck's Markets from St. Louis. Patrick Stokes, former chairman and CEO, Anheuser-Busch Companies. And Scott Wine, chairman and CEO of Polaris Industries. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the U.S. Bank Board of Directors. Thank you to all of you. Let me also take a moment to recognize our managing committee. They're here as well. I want to call out a couple of special notes as well. First, Pam Joseph, who has served with distinction this company for 15 years as head of our payments business, will be retiring at the end of June, and I want to recognize her for her years of service. Pam, not only in the company that you served for so well, but in the business of payments, which is an emerging area for the United States and leadership, she is the go-to person around the country for that. And Pam, not unlike Vicki, you've done a remarkable job of being a woman role model for so many younger people and a person that they want to follow and want to be like when they grow up, and we thank you for that. So please stand and be recognized all by yourself for the great job you've done here. And since I last met with you, we've had a couple of additions to our managing committee and one promotion. I thought I would introduce them to you specially as well. First, Kate Quinn. Kate, please stand. Kate is responsible for our strategy, business, and corporate affairs. She's joining the managing committee just a couple of months ago. You can stay standing. Kathy Ashcraft has been promoted to our new CFO. She's also joined the managing committee. And Andy Cesari, the prior CFO, has been promoted to chief operating officer. So recognize all of them in their new promotions. And managing committee, please all stand and face the wonderful shareholders and let us thank you for your entire good work that you do every day. Let me take just a couple of more minutes and highlight this wonderful organization, talk to you a little bit about what's happening at U.S. Bank. I want to remind you that the company's size is less relevant than its touch. And Louisville's a great example that our size is relevant enough to matter, but the touch is much more important on the people's lives that we intersect with, the businesses and the individuals whose dreams we touch. And so for us, this is a story of a company that may look large. It's a leading national organization in the banking industry, and yet we pride ourselves on being local. You'll see that on period ending 2014, the company was $403 billion in total assets, making us the fifth largest commercial bank in the United States. You'll see the market value of the company at that point in time was $78 billion. 18 million customers call us their bank and consider us for a major portion of their financial services well-being. 5,000 ATMs and 3,176 branches. As important to me, we're moving into our 152nd year. We were founded on July 15th of 1863 during the Civil War and currently hold the second oldest operating charter in American banking. You'll see on the map below that we are a national franchise in almost every way. You'll see our branches in the 25 states, primarily east, west of Kentucky, all the way to the West Coast. But you'll know that our payments business, led in great part by Pam, has moved around the globe and has found itself now into South America, Central America, Mexico, and certainly well over into Europe. The earnings of the company for 2014, the net income for the company was just shy of $6 billion. Diluted earnings per share of $3.08 per share. We have about 1.75 billion shares outstanding. Our returns on all the measures, the return on equity and assets, were among leading industry, and for us, these were very solid performances, and we're looking forward to moving that up from current years. Our growth, our loan growth grew 6% over the year before. In a recession, that's a pretty remarkable number, and for all the years that when things are good, everyone says they're moving market share. I think at 6% growth, and the seventh year of recession says we are moving market share. Our deposit growth equaled that at 6.5% over the prior year. And in total, we returned $4 billion of the earnings that we made, or 72% back to the shareholders in the form of dividends or in the form of buybacks. Now, we announced our earnings for first quarter just a week ago, last Wednesday, and we had the opportunity to reflect on a $1.4 billion net income, earnings per share of 76 cents. You can see loan growth 5% over the prior quarter the same year, and deposit growth jumping up to 8%. This is the best place for me to pause and talk about flight to quality. When this company entered the recession like you all did in 2007, we were a bit surprised to find out just how much of a reputation we had developed for a flight to quality or a place of safety. And so over the course of all of these years, we've enjoyed amazing deposit growth because people want their money in a place they feel safe. What we didn't expect was they would also want to get their loan from a place that they felt safe because they didn't want to be surprised or have any of the terms or conditions change overnight. And so we've enjoyed this flight to quality, a point of pride for everyone in this organization and one that we're carrying forward each year as we move into the next environment. I will also reflect that in quarter one, we returned 70% of our earnings to the shareholders. One of the reasons the bank is well regarded is because we're diversified in the way we earn money. We have four key business lines as evidenced on the pie chart on the left side. And on the right side, if you follow banking at all, we make money in two ways. We make it on the deposits and loans. Basically, if you give us a deposit, you give us permission to make that same money into a loan to someone else who has a thoughtful and a remarkable plan for which they will pay us back. The other way to make money is for fee businesses, services rendered on a day-to-day basis. And between those two, you can see just shy of 50% of that money is accomplished through the fees, and a little more than half of that is accomplished through the difference between loans and deposits. I personally would like that number to be 50-50, And if it will reverse itself to be more like 45, 55, that would be fine as well. But we don't want to go outside of that bound, because if we do that, we're not the U.S. Bank anymore. See, we're very unique because we have this special, wonderful core banking business. But in addition to that, we have this remarkable emerging global payments opportunity that we're taking across the globe. And we equally have a unique business called corporate trust, which we're also moving across the globe slowly but surely. Both of those businesses are areas that no other bank can enter at this point in the cycle, and very few are in today. So that, along with a great core, solid balance sheet, gives us this distinct benefit of being U.S. Bank. To show you a couple of things over the past couple of years, you'll see that our average balances have grown nicely in loans, 4, 7, 6%, which is remarkable during this period of time. And we continue to reflect that that's about the growth that you'll expect in the coming year. Maybe even more impressive, though, is this deposit growth. This is really a reflection of the future. You see, a bank only makes money on the loans if it has a deposit to lend. And so the real core energy for lending is deposit growth. And so I offer to you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that our deposit growth is remarkable, and our opportunity to become even more important lenders in a recovering economy, which is very shortly coming about, will be equally remarkable. In terms of peer banks, for as long as I've addressed this audience for 9 years, this has been our peer banks. We have 9 banks of the top 10 that we consider our peers. We measure our performance against those in every single manner. I thought for the benefit of this audience today, I would show you that in the key performance measures for which banks are routinely evaluated, return on average assets, return on common equity, and the efficiency ratio, we've outperformed all 9 of our peers for the entire year of 2014. And just the scale itself will give you a sense. Without naming peers, you can see that it's a pretty good story. Well, I thought you'd like to know that from the beginning of the recession starting in 2008 all the way to the current day, including what would now be those 7 years, we've never lost that position. And not 1 year have we not been in this position. So if I were an investment salesperson licensed, I would be unable to say the following. I could not say that past performance is an indication of future success. If I'm not licensed, I can say whatever I want. So it is true. Past performance is an indication of future success. This is a remarkable story. And for the employees who are wearing the lapel pin, I offer you my congratulations. For the boards of directors who support us, thank you for that support. And I'll draw your attention to the bank debt ratings. The debt ratings are those individuals who are recognized with the capability, competence, and the focus on evaluating performance of like companies. So there are rating agencies who evaluate airlines. There are those that evaluate medical companies. Those that evaluate retailers. And those that evaluate banks. These are insiders. So unlike a bank analyst, or even what I'm saying here today, which has to be completely available to all investors, rating agencies are insiders. They come in and they ask the company about what's happening now, and they get insight on what's happening in the future. In doing so, they then have the complete information from all of the peers, and with that, they make a decision on which companies they think deserve the highest score or the highest rating. Think back in the school days when an A meant an A and a B meant not an A. Well, you can see on this basis that the 4 main debt rating agencies from Moody's, S&P, Fitch, and DBRS, in each case, we are at or above the highest level of all the banks in the nation. And this would not be any different if you went down to the next set of peers and the next set of peers. So not just me saying this to the shareholders, but an outside, independent, qualified group of people saying to our shareholders, this is, at this point, the safest bank and one of the most strongest performing banks, not only in America, but across the globe. Another way to evaluate that is a stress test. This is the stress test developed by the Federal Reserve 6 years ago. I often say it's successful because I'm stressed the whole time, but it's not about me. The stress test is a chance for the American public to have the Federal Reserve place a very stringent and a very ominous economic scenario before each bank, and then move them 24 months into the future under that very dire scenario to see how we do. And so in this stress test, it's the performance of how well the banks will perform in those scenarios, not to hopefully ever happen, but a chance for people to see where's the risk and just how strong are the banks going to be. I want you to know I didn't pick the only 2 slides I like the best. These are the only 2 slides that reflect the quality of the company's performance after going through the stress test. These are the same 9 peers that I mentioned in the earlier slide. And PPNR is pre-provision net recovery. So this is a pre-tax kind of a number that talks about how much money we'd make after the stress test was placed over us. And then you can see the net income we would make after the stress test. And in this case, you can see that along with one other bank, we were the only 2 of us that would actually make money in that scenario. You can see on the left slide that we made it by significantly more than twice the median of that group. I don't ever want this scenario to come about, but it does give you a sense that the company is not only doing well in decent times, but it could do very well in very challenging times. The slide I want to show you one day is a robust economy when everything's on all cylinders, and I want to see a slide that's even more impressive, because I promise you this company is more ready to be remarkable in great times than it has been remarkable in the current times. And managing capital, you are the shareholders. This is why you buy a share of stock, why you support us, and hopefully why you follow us. Our goal has been stated to return 60 to 80% of all the money we make to the shareholders in the form of either dividends or buybacks. I want you to appreciate that that statement on the top of that page has been present since 2001. We've not changed this even through the recession. We've continued to make that commitment. And so you will see that we will take 20 to 40% of the money we make based on the circumstances present and make a decision whether to reinvest it back into the company or to acquire some form of another company to make this company bigger and stronger. On the other hand, 30 to 40% of that will go back into the form of dividends, and 30 to 40% as well will go back in the form of stock buybacks. The way a stock buyback works is it's simple, but I want to make sure it's clear to you. If the company makes $100 and we have 10 shareholders, then we make $10 per share. And as a shareholder, that's a good thing. If we buy back a share of stock at a time when it makes more sense for us to buy back a share of stock with our capital than to go buy something with it, we still make $100, we divide it by 9, and all of a sudden there's a higher return on investment. And so for us, stock buyback is not a long-term goal, but it's an opportunity until opportunities show up on the left side where we will reinvest in the company. On the right side, it shows you that we stayed soundly within that range of 60 to 80%, 71% in 2013 in the form of payback to the shareholders, 72% last year. And based on the success of our stress test, we expect to be in that same range in 2015. As I come to a close, I want to highlight the shareholder return. You can see that we compare ourselves not only to our past 3, 5, and 10-year histories, but the KBX index, which is the top 24 banks in American banking, and compared to the S&P index, which you know what that entails. You can see across the board we've done very well, or in most cases better than any of those metrics. And honestly, for a bank to do better than the S&P when banking's been under the kind of stress and the reflection it's been during the economy is pretty remarkable. And so lastly, reputation. There are a number of accolades presided to this bank, none of which I receive, but all of which are on behalf of this amazing employee base of 67,000 people. But one that matters a lot to us is the Fortune Magazine annual review of the strongest super regional banks in America. And we received this award for the 5th time out of 5 years as the strongest regional bank in America based on all kinds of attributes, which include things like governance, ethics, quality of earnings, and leadership. And so this is a point of distinction for our company, and one that, well, honestly, I don't know what I'll do if we don't get it, so it just won't show that slide one day. The other point of distinction which came up to a surprise to us, but a very pleasant surprise, was about 60 days ago we got recognized as one of the world's most ethical companies. Now, I think you do know, you're following, that there's a lot of news about banks needing to be more ethical, having higher integrity expectations of themselves and for themselves. And the Federal Reserve, among others, are trying to develop what kind of scoring should be useful in making sure that banks are doing the right thing. We will always do the right thing first, I will promise you that. But every once in a while, it's nice to be recognized for it. Not only were we recognized as the world's most one of the world's most ethical companies, but U.S. Bank, we found, was the largest U.S. bank to ever receive such a recognition. I had the honor to join a couple of our management members in New York City a few weeks ago to receive this award in New York City. And as the MC and the overseer of this award came to the microphone, he walked on stage and said something rather like, "It's great to be here. We have a great audience. We even have a large U.S. bank here tonight." And so it just shows you how far we have to come as an industry. But if that serves as a point for us to lead, then I indeed promise you we will. And so earlier this year at our all-employee meeting, many of you here were there, every January we gather all the employees across the world and we talk a little bit about our company and we telegraph into the future. This particular year we introduced our purpose statement and our key core values. Now I want to make this clear. This is a reverse approach, reverse engineering. We went out to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of employees late last year and asked them why they feel special about working here. Why is this a place they want to spend their life's work? We collected their thoughts and created this statement that I'm going to read to you here. So this is not an introduction of an idea and an aspirational statement. This reflects what all of us have been saying without having the same set of words to use. It says, "We invest our hearts and our minds to power human potential." If I can't think of anything more powerful than people to get together with the intent to help people and to do it in the sense of a forward-looking way of potential, it just doesn't get more exciting than that. The shareholder report that we sent to all of you highlighted this very issue, not only in paper, but also in a bit of a video base if you want to drill down and learn more. Core to that, and what the employees told us, were that we represent a lot of issues, but five most importantly. First, do the right thing. Always do the right thing. And now you think, well, of course that's tantamount. Everyone should do the right thing. But I must suggest that there are other industries where it's not quite as important, maybe. I'm not sure that in food services, I'm not sure in certain other categories that it matters so much that you always do the right thing. If you're flipping burgers, just if it falls on the floor, don't pick it up and put it back on the grill. That's my minimum expectation. But if you're managing people's lives and their money, and not just that, but their future dreams, you better do the right thing. And people here come to work every day with the intent to do that. Power potential. Be a step ahead, not just for ourselves, but for those who are expecting us to know more and be thinking about the future even before it arrives. Draw strength from diversity and celebrate this amazing company and who we are and who we all come from and what we can do together more powerfully than separate. And finally, put people first. Banking is a business of people for people. It's not numbers. It's not statistics. It's not loans. It's not deposits. It's people. And it represents our lives together where they intersect and there's potential. And so I close by thanking you for the privilege of not only serving as your CEO, but allowing this wonderful organization to be recognized as one of America's best banks and one of America's best companies. To do it in Louisville gives us a point of distinction because we are a community bank. Louisville is one of our favorite communities. I was here the day it became part of our legacy. I was here in the snow the day we changed the name. You can see we picked up our hot air balloon on that transaction in 1998. You all had a dentist at Great Financial that actually had a hot air balloon. And while we've continued to have the hot air balloon, we have two. We move it across the country, and we're in all kinds of festivals. You cannot have a ride in the hot air balloon because I cannot afford the insurance. But enjoy it nonetheless and appreciate that it all started here, and we thought iconically it would be a great place to talk about a future that continues as we pause just for a day in the life of this great company and do it in Louisville, Kentucky, with our thanks for welcoming us here and hosting us today. Well, Mr. Counsel, I think we've done our job here. I want to thank you all for allowing us to tell our story. I want to tell you, the employees in the room, I have your back, and thank you for always having ours. You do such a great job, and we're quite proud to tell your story today. To the directors, thank you for the support you provide us every day. Ladies and gentlemen, the official meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.